Erev Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Naso. Of the many things to speak about in Parashat Shavua, we know one of the resounding themes of the parasha is that of Parashat Nazir. And we find that the Torah, it's interesting, in Chazal we find conflicting outlooks about the Nazir. Sometimes we find Chazal being critical of him, that he has to bring Korban Chatak because he was Choteh al Sheizir Atzma Min Hayayin. Sometimes we find Chazal praising him, and indeed, Be'emet, the Torah praises him. Right? Kol Yemei Hazirun LaHashem, Gadel Perasei Arosho, Kadosh Yeh, right? He's considered holy. So we find the Nazir was a very interesting phenomenon in the Torah and throughout the literature of our sages. We find that the Gemara tells us in Masechet Nedarim Daf Tet that Shimon HaTzadik, by the way, yesterday's Daf Lamed Tet in Masechet Yoma, spoke extensively about Shimon HaTzadik, how great of a tzaddik he was, and so many nisim that happened during his times in the second Beit HaMikdash. He was Kohen Gadol for 40 years. And the Gemara in Masechet Nedarim says, an unrelated Gemara, that Shimon HaTzadik never ate from the Korban of the Nazir, because he felt that maybe the Nazirut wasn't Lishem Shamayim, and therefore he didn't want to eat from that Korban, besides for one case. And the Gemara says a story that one time there was a young man from the south of Eretz Yisrael that came to the Beit HaMikdash part of the end of the protocol of the Nazir is that he comes at the end of his Nazirut, he comes to the Beit HaMikdash, he shaves his hair, he brings korbanot. So the Shimon HaTzadik, the Kohen Gadol at the time, saw this young man, and he asked him, why did you do this? Because now at the end of the Nazirut, he has to shave his hair. He's extremely handsome, good-looking, and successful. So he asked him, what caused you to accept the Nazirut upon yourself? So he told him, Rebbe, I'll tell you. He said he was one time at a river or a lake or whatever, and he saw his reflection in the water. And when he saw his reflection, he started thinking all sorts of haughty thoughts about himself. Wow, look, good looking, whatever. And he says, Bikesh Yetzirara Letordeni. He said, the Yetzirara started with me. And he says, my only defense against the Yetzirara was the fact that he was Mekabel Nazirut. And he says, you know what? His hair was so nice and whatever. He says that was what was causing him to have these thoughts of Ga'avah. And he says, you know what? He then went and made a Nazirut and he promised to shave his hair L'shem Shamayim. Shimon HaTzadik was so impressed by this young man's resolve that he said that was the first and only time that he ate from the Korban of the Nazir, because he says this guy's Nazirut is L'shem Shamayim, which means that optimally, this tool of Nazirut is supposed to be used, the Torah had in mind, for it to be used only in the battle against the Yetzer Hara. It doesn't say his name. It was a young man from the south. That's who it was. Tov, and he was handsome. Anyway, so says the, it's a very interesting thing. The Sichot Musar says, well, let's analyze, there are three aspects of Nazirut, okay? Three aspects of Nazirut. One has to do with separating oneself, castigating oneself away from the pleasures, from the hedonistic pleasures of Olam Hazeh, against the Yetzer Hara. What's that? No wine, no grape products. That's obviously done in order to separate oneself from the Ta'anugei Olam Hazeh. Then what is there? There is another thing where a person castigates himself or separates himself from external beauty, okay? From vanity. What's that? The fact that he has to grow his hair, can't take a haircut, and at the end he has to shave it all. Those two aspects of Nazirut are very well understood what they have to do with the battle against the Yetzer Hara. You don't want to fall prey to desires. You don't want to fall prey to vanity. But the third element, the third aspect of Nazirut is a little bit of an anomaly. Why? What's the third aspect of Nazirut? Ve'al kol nafshot met lo yavo. Right? He's not allowed to become tameh. Just like the Kohen Gadol, unlike a regular Kohen is allowed to become tameh for his seven closest immediate relatives, whereas a Nazir is like a Kohen Gadol in that he's not allowed to become tameh even for his father and mother. He is 100%. And if he becomes tameh, what's the halacha? He has to bring a korban, Hashem nezirut, and then start all over again, the Torah says. He says the Sichot Musar, that seems to be a little bit counterintuitive. Why? What in the world does not becoming tameh have to do with the fight against the Yetzer Hara? On the contrary, I would think, you know, Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Kohelet, Tov lalechet bet evim milechet bet mishte, ba'asher usof kol ha'adam ve'achai yiten libo. If a person is faced with a dilemma, he can only go to one place, whether to go to a wedding party or to go to a bet evim, to go to a cemetery, to visit a grave or to visit avelim. Where should he go, says Shlomo HaMelech? To the avelim bar minan. Why? Because that, when a person sees a cemetery, that reminds a person where he's going, and it causes teshuvah. The Baal HaTurim in Parashat Emor, we know that Kohanim are forbidden to become tamid, besides for the seven relatives, correct? However, we know the Gemara tells us, Emor el Kohanim b'nei Aharon v'lo b'not Aharon, which means that women, meaning daughters and wives of Kohanim, what's the halacha? They are allowed to become tamid, besides for one case. When's the only time that a female kohenet is not allowed to become tamid? When she's pregnant. The Gemara says when she's pregnant, why? Because lest if the child is a boy, then you're, huh? So that's, it's still, huh? Safek d'oraita. Because, by the way, many times, even when they, you know how many times they tell you with the sonogram and they make a mistake? It happens. Safek d'oraita. So anyway, Bekitzur, Maran Zichron Baruch Hu was not a big fan of finding out gender. Finding out the gender. No, stop. I was supposed to be. Huh? Oh, yeah? Yeah, so yeah, it's not. Yeah, Simon's a triplet, by the way. So anyway, Bekitzur, he says like this. Bekitzur, so the Baal HaTurim says, you know why the halacha is that women kohanim are allowed to become tamei. This is very interesting. He says, "Lefi shegarmu mita ledorot." Since women, Chava was the first one, women caused all of mankind to die. Therefore, they need extra kapara, they need extra teshuvah, and therefore, where will they get that from? They'll get the itorerut, they'll get that awakening by visiting cemeteries, by becoming tamei. And therefore, the Torah didn't impose tumat kohanim on female kohanot, because they need extra kapara. So do you see? The becoming tameh, meaning going to cemeteries, causes a spiritual awakening. So what about the nazir not becoming tameh? Why is that a thing? Why is that considered something in the battle against the Yetzer Hara? So the Sichot Musar says, Kederko Bakodesh, he says a tremendous yesod chashuv me'od, very, very big foundation in the Torah. He says, he quotes another Baal HaTurim in this week's parasha. The Baal HaTurim says, "Al nefesh met lo yavo." Why is the nazir not allowed to become tameh? Lomar lecha shim tishre alav shechina mechamat nizro. To tell you that if the nazir becomes worthy of a kadosh baruch hu resting his presence on him, i.e., ruach hakodesh, shelo yomru shu doresh el hametim. By a nazir, it can happen any second, since a nazir is on such a high spiritual level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give him Ruach HaKodesh at any moment. And if he's in a cemetery and he gets Ruach HaKodesh, people might mistakenly think that he's talking to the dead or kind of, I guess, consulting the dead or engaging in some sort of Avodah Zarah. Can you imagine? And because of that, Sichot Musar says that in spite of the spiritual benefit that the Nazir may have had by visiting a cemetery, it's the Musar, right? The Gemara even says, in Masechet Berachot Daf Hey, that if a person sees that he's being attacked by the Yetzer Hara, there are certain things that you can do, certain segulot to defeat the Yetzer Hara. First thing is what? Yilmad Torah. Learn Torah. That's a segula against the Yetzer Hara. If that doesn't work, says the Gemara, read Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema is Cherev Pifiyot Biadam. And if all else fails, says the Gemara, Yazkir Yom Amita. Remember your day of death. It's a very powerful segula. Why? You know, there were chassidim rishonim, many tzaddikim, they bought graves, and daily or weekly they used to go into their graves, hop in, and, No, lay there for a little while. People might think that's a little weird, but they would say, this is, you know, person has to remember, the cemetery is a very, very big wake-up call for a person to be mitorer, and it's a, you know, the Gemara says it helps defeat the Yetzer Hara. And yet, because of the slight chance that somebody else's ruchaniyut may suffer, if the Nazir was on such a high spiritual level, gets a bout of Ruach HaKodesh in the middle of the cemetery, and some people might mistakenly think that he is Doresh El Metim, it's all not worth it. Which means one person's frumkeit is worthless when it comes on account of somebody else's. It's a very, you see it from this week's parasha, it's a big, big thing. You see that from the Nazir, and it happens a lot. I get complaints many times from people, you know, they're very, Hashem Yisrael, this is just a, you know, silly example. But it's an example nonetheless. You know, sometimes there are people who are makpid to wake up for nitz. Hashem Hashechel Kam. There's no greater tefillah shacharit than at nitz. But there's many people that in the process of going to daven nitz, they do all sorts of other isurim. They wake up the house. It's a terrible, terrible thing. It's like an elephant in a china shop. They walk around like, I don't know what, you can't.
Rabbi, we lost you from elephant in a china shop.
We fully lost him, I think.
It seems that his feed probably just cut out.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. We got you now.
Yeah. Anyway, we lost you from elephants in a china shop.
Oh, it's still recording. So anyway, I was saying that when I was in Israel, I used to go sometimes, and sometimes I was in Chazan. Rav Elbaz's son was a good friend of mine. So these, not that we know. But so anyway, I used to go there, and he used to, Rav Elbaz, at the end of the Slichot, I remember, because it's at Chatzot. Don't forget, the yeshiva is in the middle of a residential neighborhood. It's in the middle of Shechonat HaBukhari in Beis Yisrael right there. So he would make an announcement every time at the end of Slichot. He says, when you exit the building, please make sure to be very quiet. Don't talk, don't schmooze, don't honk, don't high-five anybody. Just be quiet, because he says you can't disturb the neighbors. Because if you spent the last, you know, hour or so in Slichot and Divrei Torah and you know, getting very, very inspired, and then you go outside and you wake up the neighbors and you make a whole whatever in the middle of the night, so what's that worth? A person's chumras can't come at the expense of somebody else's, you know, rufnius, comfort, convenience. It doesn't work like that. A person has to be very, very careful not to be machmir too much on other people when they can't handle it. And if a person's own chumrot, many, many of the greatest gedolim always acted like that. That they didn't let their own personal chumrot or behaviors interfere with other people's lives. It's a very, very important thing. So that's one of the many lessons that we learned from the Nazir. I thank you all for listening. Shabbat shalom v'orach. Tzikun shalom rabot na'imot v'tovot. Shnishma v'nitbaser b'sorot tovot yishiot v'nechamot. Amen k'ni ratzon.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Kol tov.